This is Antics of the Speech Chick with Melissa Warden, ramblings of a traveling SLP about therapy, business, and everything in between, sprinkled with some glitter and a little pink. This episode is all about me trying to figure out how to get to back to real life as a traveling SLP. The world is a much different place than it was, say, 3 months ago. When I stopped traveling at the end of March, it felt really, really weird not getting in my car and driving to all of my clients each week. That first week of April was just, it was weird, I will say that. And it was kind of cool, though, because a tank of gas lasted me almost 3 weeks. And if you're wondering how much I typically fill up, it is 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the schedule, where I need to go, that kind of stuff. And so when I went from a traveling SLP to a teletherapist, like everybody else in this field, it took some time getting used to. It's definitely no secret that I haven't taken to teletherapy very well. I've also, you know, if you've listened to the podcast the last couple of episodes, or if you've been reading my blog for probably the last couple of months, you've noticed that I haven't done well at all. And so as strange as it felt to move everyone online, it's even more strange, if this is even possible, to think about how I will be traveling back into the homes next week. And I messed around with this decision a lot. There would be days where I was like, no, I'm going to continue this through the summer. There would be days where I'd be like, no, I've got to get back into the homes as soon as I possibly can. But there are still a lot of, I'm stuttering a lot through this episode because it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. And I don't do well with unknowns. I'm very structured. I'm very routine. You know, as I'm recording this episode today, this was in my Google Calendar to do from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. in between clients this morning. So, I mean, I'm very scheduled. And so the vast majority of my clients are ready for me to come back into their homes. So I'm really excited about that. I gave each family the choice to stay online or move therapy back into the person, you know, in person. And surprisingly, most are very ready for me to come back in. When I sent text saying, hey, you know, I'm offering this, if you're interested, it was capital Y-E-S with tons of exclamation points after them. So it's been interesting on that part of it, as well as how many families are just ready to get back to normal. And so Texas has started opening back up. I think they started towards the end of April, and I didn't necessarily agree with the timing of it. And so that is why I did not go back to in-person stuff just yet, because I wanted to see how everything was going to pan out first. So like, we started out with restaurants being able to open at 25% capacity, and our state parks were able to open, and there was a couple of other things. And then after that, then they started opening up hair salons. That's the most recent to open, is hair salons, nail places, massage therapists, you know, those kind of people that are just like us. They just didn't have the ability to move their service to online. And so when those people started going back to work, that's when I kind of started thinking about my process of how I'm going to go back in. And the thing that I looked at was the lady cutting my hair, the lady doing my nails, or the lady giving me a massage. They can't social distance like I can. Even though I'm working with pediatrics, we can set some ground rules early on with the help of the parents on how close we get, where we do our therapy, that kind of stuff. Those, you know, hair salon people, they have to be all up in your grill in order to cut your hair or do your nails or give you a massage, that stuff. And so I realized that my decision to go back to face-to-face visits might be a little bit controversial. I've seen it as a hot button issue in quite a few of the private practice Facebook groups I'm in. So that's been very interesting to read how everybody is taking the situation and how everybody is still very much concerned for their health, their clients' health, and so on. So all that being said, the decision to go back in, it wasn't easy at first, but then as I kind of grasped more, it did become easier and it did become, okay, this is what I really need to do. But now I'm stuck on the procedures of going back in, and that has been really, really tricky. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? How will the kids react to a mask? I've even had people, when I've asked on Facebook if anybody makes the mask with the window, I've even had people go, well, why don't you wear a face shield? Well, kids aren't used to seeing the face shields. That's not what you see out, if you're going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A or you're waiting on mom in the car when she runs into the gas station. You're seeing people in masks. And so I kind of felt like kids would be more open to a mask than they would the giant face shield. And so, besides the masks, I'm also having to worry about cutting down on the amount of things that I bring into the home. So, we're still no sensory bins, we're still no Play-Doh. I have to think about the types of toys I'm taking in so that I can clean them easily in between clients, or I need to think about having. Of course, continuing with my dirty toy bin, my clean toy bin, but some of those toys I need to reuse throughout the day. So I'm either going to have to bring multiples, like all of my potato heads, or I'm going to have to bring some sort of spray, some sort of wipe that I can thoroughly desanitize everything before we go back in for another session with another kiddo. And then some of my clients have agreed to in-person therapy again as long as we conduct it outside, like in their garage while it's open, or on their porch, or places like that. And so I want you to keep in mind that it will be June, and Texas is known for the pretty brutal, hot, humid summers. And so now I got to worry about how am I going to dress because I'm going to sweat half the day, if not all day, sitting out in people's garages when it's 100 degrees outside. So there's lots of things there going on. And then a new thing that I have noticed in the Facebook groups that is also a very hot button issue is, do you have those families sign waivers or liability forms to not sue you if they think you brought them the COVID-19 virus? So that's another one that's should be really, really fun to try to figure out. And so all this being said, my main concern is how do I keep my clients, their families, myself, and my family safe? And then have you noticed how many questions I have asked during this podcast of just rhetorical questions that I don't necessarily maybe have all the answers to, and you may not have the answers to, but I'm asking them because I'm putting them out there in case someone else is in my same shoes and hasn't thought of this. So, there will be a lot of questions that I ask, but I'm not really looking for an answer. I'm just putting them out there. The truth is, until I get back going full speed, I'm not sure I'm going to have any answers. I realize that just as much as each state varies in their severity, because I know up north they're dealing with a lot more cases than we are here in Texas. I know California is dealing with a lot more cases than we are here in Texas. There are several states that are still on heavy lockdown. And so it's kind of hard to ask that question in a private practice group that covers the country. So, and then even when you go into the Texas private practice group, it's still a tough question to ask because everybody's counties are different. I live in a large rural, that's a tough word. I live in a large country county in Texas. And so we don't have that many cases compared to the size of our county. And then we have even less that are passing away from it. And so that was one thing that I looked into. I also talked to healthcare professionals that are in my county, the people that are dealing with this day in and day out. I got their input on things. I talked it over with my husband. Of course, I lost sleep and overthought it more than I've probably ever thought anything in my life. And if you know any SLP, you know that we overthink things. And so that's where I'm at, as I'm overthinking the overthinking, if that even makes sense. And so, as I talked with families about the decision to return to face-to-face therapy, the thing that I didn't have to worry about was that they none of them hesitated to answer. Of course, most of them have been online, so I know they haven't went anywhere. The ones that haven't been online, I know those families haven't went anywhere because they haven't even wanted me in their house. So, that's been a comforting thing is to know that my families haven't traveled anywhere. So that's one thing that I haven't had to overthink and worry about is have these families been out of the state or have they been out of the country? None of that has happened. And so, what I've kind of learned with the families that I've talked to, the families that I've texted with, they're really ready to get back to some sort of normalcy, even if that is me coming in their house with a mask or me coming, them opening the garage up and we're working in the garage with a fan and a mask on. The kids are tired of being at home. They are tired of teletherapy for sure. They're tired of not seeing anyone but the people that live in their house. I know that's kind of where we're at. These families are really, really tired of not having a regular schedule because if you work with kids, you know that having a regular schedule keeps the behaviors down at home. It keeps the kids knowing what's going to happen. It just provides a whole lot of structure that we're not able to provide right now. And so that means all the video games have been played. Netflix, they've watched everything on Netflix they could possibly watch. And they found those toys in the back of the closet that nobody's touched in 2 years. They found those and they've been playing with them. And so they're tired of all that now. And so while I know that my basic day-to-day routine will be about the same as when I left at the end of March, it's all of the logistics, the procedures, the protocols that I'm not completely sure of. But I know one thing is for sure, we will continue our air high fives and our air hugs in order to keep everyone safe. And so, if you do not agree with my decision to go back to face to face, that's fine. Maybe I don't agree with your decision to stay on teletherapy. Maybe I don't want to stay on teletherapy. Maybe I want to get back to my kids because I feel like I can make better progress with them in person versus online. It's just not working that well for me. So, if I wanted to go ahead and put that in there because I didn't want any negative comments or remarks left on any of my social media that I have chosen to go back in because I have done my research. I have talked to professionals. And so I've gathered information on my end on what I need to do. And so I think that since I've used all that information to make my decision, it's very difficult for somebody in, say, New Jersey to say, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You're not in Texas with me. So I just wanted to put that out there. I didn't want to be rude or anything. Just wanted to put that out there for you. And so I am so glad that you listened to my podcast today. And until next week, I will see you around on social media. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Antics of the Speech Chick. If you want to follow me more, you can find me on Instagram at Speech Chick Therapy. You can find me on Facebook at Speech Chick Therapy. And you can find me on TPT at Guess What? Speech Chick Therapy.